tells a story.
If you don't want me to record it, you can go ahead and say.
No. Sort of side. Stick side.
That's a word.
Yeah. And aside.
Segue.
Okay. Well, too, for my university, every year we have a kind of a common experience theme, and this year it's mental health. And so I thought this would be perfect for a segment to correspond with our whole common experience theme. And we were talking briefly outside, too, about different experiences with mental health, family members, and experiences working at mental health institutions. And so I know that, Mo, that you have a relative that has a mental illness. And could we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
First off?
Yeah. Well, it's my brother. And, you know, I just want to say, starting off with how cool it is of Owen, is his name, to allow us to talk about it, because he saw the movie and he realized that it's a lot more than just him. It's more important than just him or our family's problems. In Ireland, it's an epidemic, depression and mental health, and Irish people not being not able to talk about their weakness or not able to open up. So that's the reason Owen wanted me to talk about it. He was hospitalized when I was 15. He was under constraints and pressure from work. He was doing an MA in English, and then he went to do a BA. And pressure caught up with him, and he was inferred for about a month, 5 weeks. And changed the medication, changed his weight. His weight fluctuated, and his way he'd walk and how he'd talk. But I saw the struggle he had when he came back, and how difficult it was for him to readjust to living and to live beyond the stigma and to how people viewed him, you know. And it had an effect, you know. It affects the whole family, it affects everyone, you know. But that was my interest in this script, that was my interest in this story, you know. It reminded me of my family, the stuff there at my brother. And but it's a common thing, the loneliness and depression, you know. It's bigger than us. It's a very important thing in Ireland and universally. So,
how old was he?
He was my age. He was 23.
I'm 23 too.
Yeah. I was 15. So.
And how did he react when he first saw the film?
He loved it.
He loved it.
He loved it. Yeah. He especially loved the part where I knock your man out, the hospital warden. He loved that fucking part. Yeah, he was very moved by it. Very moved, very proud. First thing I did, Terry gave me the DVD, and I came down home and I watched it with me bro in front of his computer, smoking a few cigarettes, you know. But he never said well done, as in, you know, he'd hit me on the shoulder and go, well done, bro, at certain points, and I was wondering why he'd do that. It wasn't just because, oh, that's my brother up there. He wasn't like that. It was more, there's scenes where I'm completely docile, or there's scenes where I'm completely doing nothing, and I'm medicated. And he said, well done, because he's seen many people in the hospital like that. He said, that's the reality of it. He said, well done, because of that. So I was proud to hear me bro say that to me, you know. It meant a lot.
And what sort of research, or did you consult your brother, or did you consult others
who have... No, I didn't consult anyone. It was Terry's story from the start, you know. Every page of Terry's script, it moved me. It moved me beyond words, you know, to the very last page. I couldn't turn that last page without knowing what the ending was going to be like, you know. Is it, everything's going to turn out all right for Patrick, everything's going to, you know. But Terry hit it on the head about loneliness, and this guy just wanting love, wanting affection, wanting someone to love, you know. And he's as deserving as anyone else in life, you know. I never viewed Patrick anyway differently to anyone else, any freakish tics or anything like that. It's, you know, you can't look at him like that, because then you're becoming the type of person that this movie is trying to talk about, that society, you know, of treating people differently. So why play him when any ticks? But it was all in Terry's writing, and Terry taught me never to change anything about myself.
And Terry, that I understand that you had been employed with a mental institution, or what would be the term for...
That's, they would have called it a mental institution, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know just here, at least in Texas, there's kind of a stigma if you call it a mental institution or an asylum, or it's preferred state hospital, my understanding as a journalist,
State hospital.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I was telling him out there that I did some volunteer work in San Antonio, which is about an hour away from here, and it's the San Antonio State Hospital. Mm. And it was very eye-opening, especially having no background in psychology or psychiatry or anything. It was me out of pure curiosity and wanting to help in any way that I could. And so it was just a very eye-opening experience. Mm. And wanted to get some thoughts about your time working at the institution and how long you worked there.
It was funny because it's similar to your own motivation. It was about partly wanting to help, but partly insatiable curiosity. What are these places like? Who are these people? All we know about them is what we see in bad movies. And I was very curious to see how I would respond in that circumstance. So I was very young, and yes, they were called mental hospitals at the time, but even the political correctness of the language has dehumanized the language. They claim they're doing it for the right reasons, but in actual fact, it's just a process of dehumanization. Like, state hospital is a ridiculous term. But when I worked there, I went in as a training nurse, and I was 17, and there was a divide in the ward, the male and female wards. And in the 100-year history of the hospital, a man had never worked on the female ward. Now, I was only 17, so I was barely a man. But they decided to use me as a guinea pig, and they put me on the female ward.